Or if you'll remember, this, and I'll take it personally, if you're visiting with us tonight, we have been going through a series entitled Take It Personally, and how a local church can adequately and effectively fulfill the Great Commission. And that is God's plan for us, as Brother Surrett so eloquently preached this morning, and so clearly the message of how responsible we are in doing just that, and making sure that we are doing our part and making sure our neighbors know about Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to review the first part, and then we're going to talk about some details, some practical ways of fulfilling this Great Commission here in our own Jerusalem. We talked about, first of all, the value of one and the importance of understanding the eternal value of a soul and how God sees them. And then we also talked about the reality of heaven and hell, and that's not a game. There are people being tortured even as I preach this message, and torment, crying out for somebody to give them some relief, and crying out, wishing that somebody, or either they should have listened to the message that they heard, or crying out, wishing someone would have told them the gospel message. And by God's grace, we're not going to let that happen on our watch. We're going to do our dead level best to make sure every person in our community hears a clear presentation of the gospel. Whether they receive that message, I don't know. I can't control that. But I tell you what we can control, we can make sure we get it to them. And by God's grace, we will. And also that Jesus is the only way of salvation. I'm afraid, folks, and you've met them before, I'm afraid we have hundreds of people right here in our backyard, in our community, that think they're getting to heaven by the Baptist church. You know it's true. The Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, they think that they're getting to heaven through a church, an organization, or good works, and we're there to tell them that Jesus is the only way. And I was talking to Brother Thomas earlier, and we were talking about, he was talking to someone at the Potter's house, and made a comment, and you hear it often, and it's another one that scares you. It just concerns you because you're wondering, what have they been taught? And the question was, are you a Christian? And the answer was, well, I've been one all my life. And that can be very deceiving. That can be very concerning. No one's maybe taught that person what the Bible says about a man must be born again. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to clear any confusion up that's out there, and do our part in giving the pure gospel message. And we talked about to seek and to save. We can't sit on our backsides here in the church all the time and expect people to get saved. God expects us to do our part. He expects us to go out and get busy and talk to people, engage people, and meet people, and get out in our community. God help and have pity and mercy on a church that is only concerned about what's in their four walls. And we don't want to be that. We want to go out and seek. Remember, we talked about if there was a purpose statement in life that Jesus made, it was that verse. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them which are lost. And that's what we're going to do by going. We're going to take the first step by going out and talking to them and meeting them. And we're going to win. That means we're going to share the gospel and win them to Christ. Remember, we are those ambassadors. We're standing in the gap. We're there to introduce men to our Savior. We can't save them, but we're going to sure introduce them to the one who can. And thank God that we have that ability. Then we're going to baptize. I'm looking forward to using this baptistry more often, folks. We just don't want to just get in the business of dunking people. There's been churches that's all they harp on. How many did you baptize Sunday? How many did you baptize? Da, 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 da. Again, I'm not in competition. I'm not all about that. But boy, it sure is a blessing for people that are getting saved, and people that are making decisions to follow the Lord, and believers' baptism. And we want that to be going. And we want to wear our baptism committee out. Amen? And that's something we want to do. And then we want to teach. We talked about how the fact that many times people come to know Christ, and then that's it. They're left to themselves. And it would be, speaking in the physical term, you're talking about a babe in Christ. You know, it'd be about as ludicrous, it'd be about as foolish to think that I could just, a little Caroline, my little six-month-old, that I could just leave her to herself. And when we sit down to eat or whenever we're doing things, we'll just be like, well, honey, you can feed yourself, okay? That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? And it would be the same way if we were to treat people that come to Christ that way. We see them come to know the Lord, and then we're just kind of like, well, you know, great, you came to the Lord, you're on your way to heaven, and you just take care of yourself. You'll find your way. We'll pray for you. No, we don't want to do that. We want to be a church that takes good care of people that come to Christ, that tries to lead them and help them. They may not end up being in our church, and you know what? That doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm not in competition with anybody. What my concern is their growth and their knowledge and their love for Jesus Christ. That's what I want to see people that come to know the Lord. I want to help them in doing that. And if God leads them to a different place, that's just fine with me. That's God's decision and God's leading. But I want to encourage that person to follow Christ and to be faithful, to teach. And by the way, that's something we're in the works right now of getting basically a discipleship course set up for our Sunday school time. Brother Dan, who's meeting with Victor right now on Sunday mornings for Sunday school, we'd like to do that as these people that we're inviting and coming to Christ, we'd like to have what I'd like to call a New in Christ class. New in Christ, and so that they can begin feeding on the pure doctrines, the simple doctrines of the Word of God, and be getting that firm foundation. That's going to be part of our teaching. And they'll go through so many weeks, and then if they decide they want to go through it again, that'd be just fine. But if they want to go into a different class, that'd be fine too. So we're hoping to implement that sort of thing. Also, something we're looking at wanting to implement is giving you all the opportunity to do one-on-one. That is something, especially as God would lead you, and even you teenagers. I think it's wonderful. You young men, I've talked with you personally, and not as much as you young ladies, but I know Lisa and Teresa have, and I know you could as well. But I'd love to see some of our young teenagers disciple other teenagers. You say, well, is that possible? You better believe it is. They're fulfilling the Great Commission. They follow in the lines right into the lines of Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. God said that command applies for them, not just to win them, but to teach them. I appreciate, she's not here tonight, I wouldn't want to embarrass her, but Abby, Tommy and Kelly Lee's, Kelly's sister, and Abby, on her way out, she grabbed about four or five tracks walking out the door. And I said, Abby, I appreciate you doing that. She had those new ones. I'm looking at our teenagers to get a hold of this vision too. Amen? And to be able to reach our Jerusalem, reach people in the school, and reach people in the community their age, and to share Jesus Christ and those type of things. And so we're looking at fulfilling the Great Commission. We want to be active, proactive, seeking, going after, and letting the Lord be pleased. And then we talked about owning the mission, just taking personal ownership. Like, this is on me. I'm responsible for this hour, and I want to fulfill that. We talked about making a commitment. We're going to talk about more of our commitment tonight. Here in just a moment, church, I'm going to take the opportunity to just, again, explain what we're talking about in the different areas of our Take It Personally outreach. And this is basically a commitment card, if you will. And it's also, some of you have already done it. Some of you have gone online and put it in. But what we're going to do is we'll pass these out to all those that hadn't had the opportunity to go online. I know it's right now, because of our website, it's a little dated. It's a little confusing. And so I understand there were some technical difficulties there, and I apologize for that. We did the best we could with what we had. We want to improve upon that, and we will, in timing, step by step. But in the meantime, if you didn't get a chance to go online, we're going to pass out these cards. And it's a place to put your name, and then I'll explain the different options. But what is that? It's taking ownership. And it's something that I want, and I'm praying that every person will commit. Now, again, by you signing that card, it's not going to say that you have to be there every time we go and do this. What we're going to ask is that you would go once a month. And one day a month, probably a Saturday afternoon for an hour or two, that would be your decision. But here's the thing. Even if you were to miss a month, you're like, oh no, if I miss a month, what's going to happen? Nothing. It'll be all right. Things come up. You're not able to make it all the time. It's just like sometimes with life. Things come up. Listen, we're not being rigid about this. We're just asking you to make a commitment to make an effort. And God knows your heart. God knows when you are able. And so that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to make a commitment. Then we're setting a plan. We'll talk a little bit more about that plan tonight. How's this going to look, Brother Jennings? I mean, you're talking about coming in on once a month, and so what does that mean I'm going to be doing? We'll talk about that here in a minute. We are going to set a plan, and we're going to practice that plan. And by the way, church, can I say this real quick, in case I forget, because I am terrible about forgetting things. Short-term memory. I'm not going to tell you how I think I might have lost all that, but listen, this is what I'm going to try to tell you to do. Remember, Wednesday night, please bring your book, your Take It Personally book. And I'm going to ahead and announce this too, Aaron and Lisa. I was going to talk to you later about it. We'll go ahead and bring the Patch Club in here because those little ones, there's a good chance those little ones could be going out too, possibly with their family, and we want to make that available. So we'll have everybody in here on Wednesday night. Encourage folks to come, that we're going to be talking about some specifics. Maybe we'll break up in some small groups and talk about how we can speak to people about the Lord Jesus. And just make it real practical, and we're gonna do that. We're gonna set a plan. I'm just not gonna send you out there, folks, without a plan and without preparation. That would be failure on my part. And then, of course, we're gonna be seeking God's help. We're gonna be leaning on the Lord, praying to Him earnestly. In fact, I encourage you to do that if you're not already. Often, ask the Lord to bless this tool that we're using. This preparing our hearts, listen, we need to be asking God to prepare their hearts and pleading God, would you please help us in our seeking the Great Commission. I don't know about you, but I mentioned this and I think it's still true. Since we started this study, I have seen more attacks in my own life and in the life of our church people by talking to you and listening to you than I've experienced over the 6 months that I've been here. And I can tell that Satan is not happy about what we're doing. We're setting out to make a plan. We're setting out to seek out for God's help. And listen, we need to beg God to protect us from the wicked one. He's seeking to hurt us and harm us physically, mentally, spiritually. The devil will take any route he can. He will come at you. It doesn't matter. It may be physical. It may be whatever. I'm telling you right now, he will come after us, and we need to seek God's help. Aren't you glad you can claim the promise tonight that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world? And that is a promise that I stand on. And it's okay to be ugly to the devil, okay? Don't be ugly to anybody else, but if you want to get mad at the devil, I encourage you to. And tell him to go back where he'll be for eternity. All right, so we're going to see about making a commitment, setting a plan, seeking God's help, and then we're going to prepare a message. That's something we're going to start working on Wednesday night. Now, this is something that is going to help our church tremendously. I believe this with all my heart, because not only is this going to enable us to be better prepared to share and present the gospel when we go knock on the Jones's door, and they come and they hadn't heard the gospel before, a pure gospel message, it's going to prepare us. But not only that, but then it's going to prepare us as a church when we, let's just give an example, when we have special meetings, when we have a revival meeting or a special evangelistic service, and let's just say, listen, could I get four ladies to come forward at this time, please, four of our member ladies that can share the gospel. Could I have four men that come forward at this time, please? And that will enable, as us practicing this and training ourselves, you will be ready to go out and win somebody to Christ right here in our church. And I want to prepare you for that. I want to teach you and let you be confident in that. that you can share the gospel and you can lead someone to Christ. It is not difficult. And God will allow you to do just that as we prepare our message. And so that's what we'll do with God's help. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, we'll be there in 1 Corinthians. Y'all give me a second to get there. But we've talking about tonight. I want to go into more of how we're going to divide the groups up into how we will go out as a team, as we will go out as a family, as we go out as the body, if you will, is the biblical terms. And that's what I want to mention here. Go to 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 12, if I said that correctly. Yes, verse 21. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. I'm just going to read a couple verses here for the sake of time. But just read a couple verses and you'll understand the context here. Paul is talking about the importance of the body. And I'm not talking about the physical body tonight, which that is important, but I'm talking about the body of Christ. This body, the body of Crooked Creek Baptist, and how important every single member is. And look what it says in verse 21. I'll start with verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. And guess what else? It says that, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You see, right there, it hits home with us. And this thing that we're talking about, and everything we do here at this church, but I'm talking specifically about taking it personally, there is no one in this room that is not needed to fulfill the Great Commission. Every single person, every teenager, every young person, every young at heart, every single individual in this room is needed. I can't say as the pastor, well, I don't need you, 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 or you. No, sir. In fact, au contraire, as we say in French, it is the exact opposite. I need you. I need you. And I need you. I need you all. God is saying, I am making all of you important and fulfilling this great commission. Each one is dependent upon the other. And God has given us different gifts to enable to do that. And then it says in verse 22, it says, you know, of course, the head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. In verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, what does the Word of God say? Are necessary. Well, I'm so thankful for the Word of God and how crystal clear it is. God's Word is saying, listen, those of you, you might look at certain ones in the church, whether it be because of their background, or because it be of a weakness, or because it be of a personality, saying, well, they're sort of feeble. They're sort of weak. You know what? God says they're necessary. Every single individual is necessary. In order this to be a success for the glory of God, we have all got to get involved and realize no matter how weak you think you are, because that's a big excuse. I realize that. I hear it all the time. I don't have the ability. I can't do this. I can't do that. What are you saying? I'm feeble. Can I tell you something? The Bible says you're necessary. The Bible says you're necessary. And that is an honorable and profitable thing, my friend, for God to say, look, you are necessary. And in order to fulfill what God wants us to do, there is no such thing as an insignificant church member, dear friend. We are here to serve the Lord together. And we all need each other. Amen? That is something that we will do. Now, let me go ahead and say this. This is something that Brother David Jemanski and I have been working on and putting together. Appreciate Brother David's hard work and putting together this PowerPoint. But we put our thoughts together on these things and figured out what are some ways that we can make an avenue for everybody to get involved with different strengths and whatnot. Well, let me go ahead and just go through some of these. Of course, we know the mission. The mission we talked about is to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to do that. We want to have every person to be actively obeying Jesus Christ, like we've talked about, moving forward and fulfilling the Great Commission. We want everybody to hear the gospel in our community. I don't want anybody in our community having to stand before God and say, nobody ever knocked on my door. Of course, that's not going to matter, as the preacher said this morning. But listen, I want to make known the gospel in our area. And then, once people do respond, making an avenue for them, bringing them in, teaching them, going to them. Listen, they don't have to come to our church to have Bible studies. And that's another thing I was going to tell you. Individually, some of you may, God just really give you a kindred heart with somebody that you just got a kindred spirit with. And it may work out and say, listen, let's just meet at Starbucks, or let's just go over to Subway, or come over to our place, or hey, listen, we'd love to just have a Bible study with you. And we want to encourage them and disciple them as God gives us the ability. Now listen, now we're going to talk about the plan, the strategy. All right? No individual, as I just said, has the ability to do the whole job. It's just impossible. We need each other. No individual group within our church has the ability to do our... We can't just say, well, listen, we're going to have this group that are going to be our ones that fulfill the Great Commission. No, it's all of us. And we're going to see some individuals are gifted in one part, but others in another, and that's very biblical. That's nothing I'm arguing. There are different strengths that we have, and we're going to find out where your strength is and where my strength is in doing this. Team one, now I'm going to mention four teams. What we're going to do is we're going to split them up in ways that when you come as your group. Now, as you see on your church calendar, we spelled out the word GROW. G-R-O-W, and that you may be Team G, you may be Team R, but on that team, there will be four teams within that one team, or four divisions, you can say, that will fulfill the Great Commission. The first team that could be an opportunity that you would feel more comfortable or gifted in is saturation. What is that? Well, that's fulfilling the Great Commission by just getting the message out. I don't have it right here. I do have the tracts. But what we did is we also ordered another 2,000 door hangers that are that basically are the same design as Be Our Guest this Sunday. A little different message inside. It's this one, since I am just coming here 6 months now, I sort of introduced myself and my testimony of salvation and a little bit about my work in Niger, but being here and just saying I'm so glad to be in the community, blah, 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 okay? And then so I just kind of express those sort of things, and we're going to put those in the community. We're going to put those on the doors of our neighbors. And then after we saturate, we can go back personally and talk to them about the invitation to church or the possibility, interest in the gospel if they don't already have any. These people will focus on making our presence known, saying, hey, there's a church that cares. Don't you want to be known as a testimony? Don't you want to be known as a church that cares? I believe that there is already a testimony of this church of that nature. And we only want to build that, folks. We only want to grow that and move forward. And we also, methods of saturation include, like I said, canvassing, getting those invitations out, community participation, social networking. Oh, man, we could park there for a while. I'd like to get some of you techies up here sometime to explain ways that we can use social networking for the glory of God. It burns my heart that many times the Internet gets us in bondage and whatnot, gets us addicted to the wrong things. But, boy, I'm telling you what, God, the Internet's not evil, all right? The Internet can be used for the glory of God. And I'm hoping that through these coming months that we'll find avenues to use the Internet, to use Facebook and Twitter, and to use Instagram and all these different avenues of social networking, of sharing the gospel, letting people know that we're here and we love them and want to reach them with the truth of God's Word. And I know these young people could run circles around me. I was kidding with Dr. Surrett earlier about, you know, my knowledge of computers and using things and graphic design and things of that nature. And I told you, you know what my extent of graphic design is? I'm serious too, folks. This is kind of sad. But it is the smiley face where you put the colon and the parentheses. Like the smiley face. That's about the extent of my ability to work with computers and whatnot. But honestly, some of you are very talented. Some of you, especially you young people, man, you know the apps, you know the way to maneuver through things and get the word out. And we can use that for the glory of God. Amen? They're tools that God wants us to use. And instead of using them for the devil, let's use them for King Jesus. And that's my vote. So then we're going to have the saturation team, that those folks that are go out, you'll have that opportunity to check that card. That might be something, you know what, preacher, I think that's something I'm capable of doing. I go out and just put those in those doors, and man, you know, it might be something you're very, very interested in. You say, well, boy, this rural area, that's going to be a little difficult in certain areas. You're right. And we'll have a plan for those areas, but there are also places like Jefferson and Nicholson where they will have little subdivisions where houses are closer together and where they'll have apartments. You know, these new developments coming up not far from us, even heading out to Winder, these new housing developments coming up everywhere. We want to get there. We want them to know that we're in town and we're here to stay, amen. All right, if we want to fulfill the Great Commission locally, we need to be winning people to Jesus and then discipling them. Now, these contact people will be folks that will actually engage and talk to people about Christ. Excuse me, but that is the group that is comfortable at this time to ask people about their salvation and to ask them that, you know, questions like you hear often, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? And of course, you know, you get all kinds of various answers, but then you being able to open the Bible and say, well, listen, this is a question I love to ask. And a lot of times, I tell you, man, a lot, the response I get on this question, has anybody ever opened the Bible and show you how you could be for sure of heaven? I can't tell you how many times people say, no, well, no one's ever opened the Bible. Well, hey, that's where it is. And so we're going to have people that will be able to ask those sort of questions and be gracious, and we're going to teach you about that, that will talk to them about their salvation. It's just not to go by and say, hi, I hope you're having a good day. But it's just to give you a quick example, it would be me to knock on the door and to give, let's say, Brad here, you just act like you're the resident there. Sir, it's good to see you today. We're from Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Want to give you an invitation. And you'll notice there's some information about our church. But what was more important than church attendance, sir, is actually whether or not you know for sure whether or not you're going to heaven when you die. A question like that would be to open the door right there for evangelism, contact. And we're going to teach many ways to do that. That was just one of hundreds of ways that you can introduce the gospel. And we're going to be talking about things like that. But that's going to be a contact person. And you say, well, there's no way I could do that. That's all right. We don't panic. We're not going to put you in a place where you're going to be that uncomfortable, where you don't feel like that's something that you feel like God has you doing. But those of you that are interested, we're going to try to plug you in. We're going to people that are going to engage. You're going to be connecting with people in the community for the purpose of bringing them to Christ and discipling them. Door-to-door visiting, small group Bible studies. I was talking to a gentleman in our church just the other day, and he said, Pastor, you know, God's really impressed on my heart to just start a small Bible study in my workplace. And I said, praise God. That's what we're talking about. That's just a little small Bible study, anything like that. I'd love to see some of you guys at school, whether you're at a Christian school or not, to say, listen, man, I'd love to get involved with a Bible study. Maybe invite some guys to study the Word of God together. That's going to be your contact people. Now, here is where a group that says, you know what, this is the contact assistants. This is that group that says, man, I tell you what, preacher, I, That's kind of thing takes a lot of boldness, and man, I'm shy, I'm timid. I really like to talk to people about the Lord, but man, I get scared and I kind of panic when I start talking to people. And I wouldn't want to be the main person doing the talking, but I wouldn't mind at all going along to be a silent prayer partner for that individual that's doing mainly the talking, and even do some just conversational short talk. You say you'd be willing to maybe learn under an individual that does have much experience in presenting the gospel. That, if that's you, this would be your category. You're interested in learning more about presenting the gospel. You're interested in talking to people about Jesus Christ. You, my friend, will be a contact assistant. And that's a Bible principle. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, principle reveals that fulfilling the Great Commission is all about training the next generation of workers. Hey, listen, let's just be honest with you. 50 years from now, most of this room is going to be in glory. Okay? 50 to 60 years now, let's just be honest, most of us will be in glory. All right? And so this young generation, they're going to be taking the baton. They're going to be taking the torch, and we are here to train them. We are here to help them, encourage them, and help us all to train that next generation. And that's one of the visions we want to have. We're not here to maintain, friends, as we've said so much before. We're here to move forward. We're here to grow and prepare for the future. Not everyone who would like to be a part of the contact team feels comfortable, as I said. But this one would be more or less, less in your face. It would be more of you just learning, growing, praying for that person, and the opportunity arises, you may be able to say some things. But we're going to encourage people to at least do this at some point or another during our outreach in the years to come. And then the third team, and all of these teams are equally important, okay? Again, goes back to the principle. One of these teams can't say, well, that team's really not necessary. No, friend, that is not truth. You are necessary. Every team is necessary. Support. The Great Commission depends on supernatural power, which comes through the faith-filled prayers of God's people. And that is where the support team will come in. Support team gathers together for focused times of prayer for the other teams that go out into the field. In addition, these members may help the other two teams logistically. We may plug you in on a support team put together the maps. That's something that they could help out just there here at the church, putting together organization, filing, contacts that do come in. There are many areas of the support team we're going to be able to plug you in. You may say, listen, I feel like my gift is organization. I love putting things in folders and labeling them and helping get things in order. This would be more of your area then. Perhaps you really enjoy, listen, we all should enjoy praying, but listen, I believe God has gifted some prayer warriors and folks that just love getting a hold of God and love seeking His face and focused prayer. I want to tell you, that's we need you. And we will. And you say, well, preacher, this support team, I had somebody ask, is it really necessary that we come to church for that time? And I say this very graciously, yes. It is very necessary. Is it possible that you pray in your living room during that time? Yes, it is. But let me tell you my philosophy of why I think it's important for you to come. It's because so the other team members can physically see you. It builds a confidence in their hearts that everybody groups together and before we pray, you leave this church with the power of God on your life, knowing that there's a group of Spirit-filled believers that are going to be interceding for you as you're out knocking on doors. They're going to be getting a hold of God and asking God, please have mercy upon our people that are out witnessing right now. Protect them from Satan. Protect them from distractions. Give them courage. Give them boldness. Help the grain of the Word of God find good ground. I mean, I'm telling you, God will bless that. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure that we have a good support team. And somebody will also be in the support team. Another example could be somebody having the coffee ready. I want to tell you, that's important. And cookies too, amen. But the support team will be responsible of helping with those things which are very important and gearing up to go out. The team is not auxiliary, if you will, in military terms, but it is a vital part of our strategy. Then we'll have special ops teams that can be drawn from each of the GROW teams to go do nursing home ministry. The other ways that we can minister besides the saturation and contact and support teams do, we'll go out like the Potter's House. By the way, again, I just can't say I thank you men enough. We had six of the guys go, and thank you so much for participating. Wonderful spirit at that Potter's House. There was a question, well, can the ladies get involved in the Potter's House ministry? I am going to get that question answered tomorrow. I'll be calling Adrian, the director of that ministry, and talking to her and see if we can get some of our ladies involved to be a blessing as well as we go up and minister there. But it'd be things like that. This summer, you be praying with me. The Lord's impressed upon my heart. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I would love to put a table up at the flea market. The Pendergrass flea market, I believe, is a big one, and there's a couple. Putting our tracks out, putting a nice banner of our church, and just having a couple, two or three people there to greet people and to talk to people about the Lord, to talk to people about our church. That would be a special ops. And that would be a good opportunity to just making ourselves known and reaching people where they are. And, you know, I've heard of churches doing, this church in Greenwood I was in, they had many people, several people saved, well, even while I was there, but many people saved through the flea market ministry. What they did is they gave free coffee. They had hot coffee there. They had bottled water that they'd give out for free, no charge. And the summertime, you know, we could have something like sweet tea and just offer that to the people and just be a blessing to them. And then one time, I don't know if anybody's capable here, but in that church, I think it was some of the teenagers actually that did balloon animals. They made balloon animals and different things. And man, you talk about those little kids coming up with mom and dad, and what an awesome opportunity to give that dear family that doesn't have a church home possibly an invitation to our church. And you see the practicality of our special ops teams. And we'll find other avenues. Perhaps they'll... And by the way, listen, we're not just going to depend on preacher's vision. I'm depending on your vision too. If you God lays something on your heart and you say, preacher, I know something we could do maybe to reach a group of people or to make an impact, I'm going to stay with you. Praise God, let's talk about it. Praise God, let's pray about it. Let's see what the Lord will do. I want you to be excited about it as well. So we see the special ops are a subset of the other three teams who participate in these ministry opportunities. And by the way, the Oaks as well. And can I just put this plug in while we're there? There's a sign-up sheet for that, as you saw in the bulletin. If you're interested in going, please let us know. Sign up. You don't have to have any special abilities. Those people just need love. Those people need conversation. And we want to encourage them while they're there. And I know you won't regret that. And so, although someone could just serve with the special ops, they will grow the best from also being part of these others as well. And so that is what we will have available. United we stand. We are together in this. This is we are the body of Christ, and we will move forward. All of these things, while each team has a specific responsibility, all of them are working together for one goal. That's fulfilling the Great Commission in our community. And we're going to do that together. And to build unity, the whole team will meet together periodically for fellowship, encouragement, training, and prayer. We're going to give those opportunities for us to work together and to pray together. It's going to build unity in our church, I have no doubt, as we have these opportunities. Now, let's get this correct, too. The only competition is against the devil and his kingdom, not with each other. See, we're in competition with the devil because he's out trying to do the same thing. He's out knocking on doors daily, folks. He's out knocking on homes. He's reaching them. He's trying to get to them. And we're going to go out and be some competition to him. We're not in competition with each other. We are together. We encourage each other. We are all important to the Lord in doing this. Four teams, each composed of saturation, contact, and support, and special ops teams from what we could say in military terms, our attack corps. Typically, each team will take one Saturday afternoon a month for saturation, contact, support, and special ops. Now, sometimes these things may be modified, and we'll keep you up to date on that, but this is where we are going right now. You see, our church You see how we need each other, the GROW teams. And we will go out each week. And here's the thing, too, that I personally like about it. You know, there's nothing wrong with going out every Saturday. Nothing wrong with going out every Thursday. And for that matter, there's nothing wrong with going out every night if that's what you have the ability and the time to do. But I have found in my own observation of the local church, with just the way life is, asking people to come out every week with so much going on, you're already asking them to come out twice on Sunday and then on Wednesday, and then there's other things from time to time that come up, and then ask them to come out. It can be somewhat burdensome. And I don't believe in taking away family time. I feel like there should be a balance. And so what this allows you to do as we split these teams up is for you to look at your calendar and you have that one Saturday. And I believe that is not too much to ask to say, you know what, we can commit one Saturday a month to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, is that the only time you witness? Of course not. But we're talking about organized, soul-winning Great Commission for the local church. You should always have tracts on you. You should always be looking at opportunities to talk about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of course. But this is what we're talking about, organized from our church to be able to do that. So we want to take it personally. And by God's grace, that's what we'll do. Ushers, if you'll go ahead and start passing out these cards. And what you have on here, you have where you can put your name. Now, before, but while you're passing those out, that's fine. If you've already signed up online, just pass your card on down the line. And then we'll pick up all the extra cards if you've already signed up. But if you've not, you say, well, what about teenagers? What about young people? Well, I'd say teenagers, go ahead and fill one out. All right? And if your parents say, well, no, I don't want you doing that, you listen to your parents. But put your name, and because you'll be coming with your family anyway, and but we'll be looking at the different teams where we can put you. But if you need a pen, just borrow one. But you have your name, and it says, I want to be involved in the following ways of reaching our community. You can check all of them, or you could just check one of them. But please at least check one, okay? All right, so we see here that you could check saturation. That's canvassing. Events, publicity, social networking, contact, that's personal visits, soul winning, door to door, assistant contact, help and learn on the contact team, support, prayer meetings and other support roles. And then we have the special ops, any other kind of ministry outreach such as the Oaks, such as the Potter's House, such as possibly the flea market, and so on and so on. So if you could, go ahead and put your name on there and at least check one. And again, you can check all of them. You could, and by you checking all of them, that's not saying you're going to be doing all of them, but at least it helps us know how we can divide folks up so that we can do it equally and have a good balance, and because we may have too many on the contact team, in other words. And if you are somebody that has both checked, we may say, well, hey, this individual, He checked all of them, so we'll just put him on the saturation team for right now. You say, well, Pastor, could this change down the road? Absolutely. You're not stuck here for until you go home to be with the Lord, okay? This is something that is just helping us start off. You may get into it 2 weeks and say, brother, I'm serious. I do not want to be on that team. Or you may say, I don't want to be in that division. I don't want to be in that category. I'm struggling there. Can I go to somewhere? Absolutely. It's not about forcing you into something. It's about getting you plugged in where God can use you. Amen? So go ahead and do that now if you can. Just take a few seconds, put your name, you say, well, you're not a member. It's okay. If you're a friend of the creek, you go ahead and fill one out. Okay? And if you haven't already gone online, we would love to get. Is there anyone that does not have one that would like one? Our ushers are still passing them out. Did anybody not get a card? We want to make sure everybody gets one. Now, if I find out that you did not sign up and you're an active member, expect me at your house at midnight tonight. Okay, I'm just saying. Hey, you forgot to do your card. I'm just kidding. But anyway, please try to fill that out, and we'll put you in. And again, you're not stuck in that place. but we will try to find where everybody can fit the best. Any questions real quick about this card and about this, what we've talked about tonight, that anybody that would like to ask? Yes, ma'am. Well, it'll be the leadership of the church, and we will discuss it. We will look at them. Brother David is helping me with it. We're going to look at all where we need people the most, you know, if we have too many people signed up in this area, but you were able to do both. We'll look at it that way. But before we make anything official, we will talk. We will make it known to each of you what you will be doing. Your children will be with you. That's automatic. Unless there are some that are saying, listen, I don't mind my teenager. I really need a break from him. He's been getting on my nerves all week. Just please go ahead and let them go with a different group. Well, that'll be fine. But anyway, that'll be up to the parent. That'll be their discretion. But great question. Great question. Yes, my dear wife. There is child care. Yes, we will make child care available. And by the way, that will be another support role. Some of you ladies that would say, you know, I don't want to really get out and knock on doors at this time, but I'd be more than willing to watch the children for an hour or so and to help out in that way. And so that'd be an awesome way that you can help out fulfill the Great Commission. And you are necessary. You are very important. And we will look at doing that as well. Good question. Yes, Brother Tim. Right now, unless the Lord leads otherwise, we will plan this for Saturday afternoons, right around from about 1 p.m. to 3 or possibly 2 to 4. We'll get those details together. I personally, it may just be me, but I've kind of picked this up too. The reason I'm not saying Saturday mornings is because folks like to just kind of relax on Saturday mornings, wear their pajamas until lunchtime, you know, that type of thing, just to kind of hang out. And you know what? I want to respect that. And so if we can go in the afternoon, if they still got the pajamas on, I'm sorry, okay? But we just going to have to go out there and do something. But we're going to try to do that in the afternoons. Again, if you would like to go, you say, well, Brother Jennings, Saturdays don't work well for me at all. Don't panic. You will still be part of a team, but we will make a special time for you to go. And perhaps you'll be in the same boat as some others saying, hey, Pastor, I can't go on Saturdays, but I could go on Thursday night. I could go on Tuesday night. That's great. We'll get you plugged in with a team member that is in the same situation. And we want to make this, we want to cater this to where it can get everybody involved. That's the whole point of this emphasis. We want to make it available for all our church members to have a part. Because you are necessary. Yes, ma'am. It will be, since if you look at your church calendar, it will be the same Saturday. We got our fifth Saturdays. Lisa, is that the Oaks is that we have on fifth Saturdays? Okay, it's the fourth Saturday, but we will let other teams participate in that as well, like special ops. But yes, it'll be first Saturday, second Saturday, third Saturday, fourth. And that'll just be the same throughout the year. And it may be, again, it may be, well, listen, that Saturday I'm finding out that's not best for me. Or you may be a month where you got somewhere to go. Hey, could you switch with somebody. Or just don't even switch with them. Just say, hey, I'd like to go over to the R team this week and help out. Amen. That's not a problem. We'll make that available. We're going to have team members over each group, and they're going to help organize and orchestrate, and those things like that are not going to be a problem at all. And again, it's just because you're not stuck. Yes, Brother Ricky?
So if you were on the saturation team on the D-team, if you wanted to come and be a part of the support team on the R-team, that would be fine.
Be just fine. Absolutely. Absolutely. It would be totally, you'd have total liberty to do that. And you may be one of those folks that says, look, Pastor, honestly, I'd like to just go come every Saturday. Amen. That'd be just fine. We'll get you in, because those of you that may just want to do that, we want to make it available and encourage you to do that. So Good, great questions here. And again, this is, listen, I'm just being transparent as your pastor. This is new for me too, folks. I'm excited, and we're moving forward on some new territory. And thank you for your patience. Your questions are appreciated. Your comments, your suggestions are appreciated. And so we're going to just move forward together as a body and let the Lord be glorified in it. Miss Kathy. Oh, yes. Everybody will be involved in that. So that way the people that are praying, even if they don't go, they know what the other person, people are going through. Because we're gonna have some real honorary, mean-spirited people that are going to play the role. And I got some of you that I think would do a real good job at that. But we're going to do some role-playing and try to help you on that, too. But yeah, good questions. Good questions. Anything else on that? And Wednesday night, we'll be continuing it through the month of February. And Saturday, we'll be having our first kickoff day. And the Sunday night before that, we're going to have a special evening service where we're going to have a commissioning service for this, for reaching our Jerusalem, the Great Commission of taking it personally. And I'm just thrilled about what the Lord and how the Lord is going to use that. Well, if there's not any other comments on that, if you do later, please feel free to ask them. I do want to just go through a couple announcements very quickly because I've kept you later than I've wanted already. First thing I want to mention is something precious and wonderful, Kids with a Heart. Our church, junior church, age kids, and have done something very special for our young at heart. And they decided they wanted to do something for our young at heart. For each senior citizen couple, for each young at heart couple, there is a special gift for you, and also those of you that are young at heart, our singles young at heart that are here. There's something special for you that will be in the fellowship hall, a special gift made by the Crooked Creek Junior Church kids. And they wanted to do this to say that the message is this: we love you and thank you. And how precious that is. And so I hope immediately following the service, our young at heart, whether you're a couple or single, please go to the fellowship hall and get that special gift that they have prepared for you. And how we do thank you, young people, those of you here tonight that help with that, thank you. And that is precious. I know the Lord will bless you for that. The cards. Can we go ahead and take up the cards while I'm doing these announcements? I'm usually not good at multitasking. My wife is wonderful at it, but we're going to try it, okay? So as I'm giving announcements, you fellas, take up the cards. Okay, the memory program. I hope that you guys are sticking with that. You say, well, Pastor, actually, I've been doing a terrible job. Don't worry. Don't panic. But we do want to start doing something more consistently to remind us to stick with it. The memory program that we're doing, the Two-Edged Sword, that we almost sold, I think, close to 30 copies, if not more. So I know many of you are seeking to do that. Just try to maintain consistency with it. And then it's been suggested to me that we possibly look into getting some accountability partners. And so I'm going to leave that up to you. There was one just talking to recently that said, I do much better if I know somebody's going to ask me whether I did my memory verses. Well, I think we all could agree on that at some point. So I'm going to leave that up to you. I'm not going to assign somebody to you. If you feel that way in your heart that you would do better, find somebody that's doing the memory verse and ask them, listen, would you mind asking me each week about our verses? And then that way there's some more accountability. And then also we're going to start trying to put them up on the screen more. Brother Mike, we'll get together on that. Just try to put the verses up, whether it be a Sunday, the ones that we're memorizing. And then one night I might surprise you. I might say, those of you who are memorizing your verse, would somebody like to just take a shot at quoting some of the verses you've been working on? Not to brag, but just to be able to encourage us and help us, because all the verses are profitable. Amen? And so we will try to make more emphasis on keeping to memorizing our scriptures. Let's continue praying for Brother Bill. I wanted to mention these prayer requests. We need to pray for Brother Bill. He's been moved to his own room. But there's a long way to go, and just therapy. They're hoping to get him to St. Mary's to start the rehabilitation. So be praying for him. Pray for Tim. Got a report this morning that Tim, maybe an email's already gone out, but Tim had been really struggling. My phone's been dead, so I hadn't seen any messages. But I heard he was struggling, and they really need to pray for him because they had to do some IV things and just some different things that really agitated Tim. So we need to pray for him. And then we needed to pray for Noel, but we also need to praise God for Noel. Amen? And to thank the Lord for what He did there. And the surgery went well with the appendicitis and all the complications and things that can go along with that. But God brought her through that successfully. And she's doing a lot better. You saw her here this morning. And thank God for that. Thank you for all that have been praying for her. And we just appreciate Brother Mike and Noel, but especially Noel so much. And Beverly Sick, the one who is just so great about sending out these prayer requests, she has requested that if you send her a request, I asked her, I said, what if it's 3 a.m? She said, it doesn't matter, but would you give her a call? Because she's afraid that she's missing some messages, or she don't want to take a chance of missing a message. So if you send one to her, you could call her cell or her home. Just give her a ring, say, Miss Beverly. She said she promises that she will not talk. She'll just say, okay. Now, if you call Miss Kathy, I'm telling you, she's not going to promise you that, okay? But that is what she would like for you to just give her a call. And then be praying about this. Please, I beg you, church, 1 month from today, I can't believe it already, 1 month from today, we're going to be starting our family revival services, our family renewal. That will be a month from today. So please, let's be bathing that conference in prayer. I'll be getting more details on that. And let's see here. Last but not least, teenage parents, I wanted you to know, I mentioned it before, but I wanted to mention it again. I gave the teens a devotional here to encourage them to be in the Word of God. And I told them, listen, if you already got something, you stick with it. But if you don't, you struggle with it. This is a teen especially made for teenagers. And so we do have more. I did make them available to them in their Sunday school rooms. You can ask them if they have them and talk to them about it. But it's a great opportunity for them to be in the Word. But with that, what I've given is a piece of paper for each day that basically has where they put their name, date, passage. And I just have them just not write an essay. Even I told them just if it's just one sentence. But I say here, write out some ways that you can practice the truths taught in the passage that you read. And when they bring these back to me, whether it's 7 or whether it's 1, I'm giving them some credit for it. And there's going to be a reward system set up that I'm going to do, that I want to reward them, give them scholarships to camps that we're going to, special opportunities, maybe even take them out to eat, different things of that nature. I just want to reward obedience. Amen? I want to get our teenagers and our young people into the Word of God. Amen? And we need to reward them for that and encourage them to that. And that's not going to be their main motivation. But I want to tell you what, if we can get them into the Word and whet their appetite, that's the best thing to do. And boy, if they leave this church one day, as they leave this church, whether it be for college, and I told them this, whether it be for college, whether it be for the workplace, or whether God just leading them in a different direction to a different church, whatever it may be, if they can leave here having a taste and a desire for God's Word, I feel like we have done our job. We want them to love the Word of God. And so we parents, teen parents, I hope you'll encourage them with that. If they don't, and I said, one of them asked, well, what if we already got something? Can we still do the sheets? Yes. Grab those and fill those out for whatever you're reading, and then turn those in to me or Miss Teresa, Miss Lisa, for the teen girls, and then I'll be taking them up for the guys. What you do is you'll turn yours in, however you've done, and we'll give you a new one for each week. And we're getting ready to order some more. So Brad, you put those back there in the members center and make those available to the teenagers. All right. Well, I think we can have a word of prayer.